Welcome to season two of 2 Feet in the Podcast. This season, we are highlighting inspiring women focused on empowering other women. 2 Feet in the Podcast will explore ideas and inspire you to produce action. This is your place to break down ideas, get a strong dose of motivation, and learn to live 2 feet in. Today is the day. Get up and get moving on your dreams with me. I am the coach, Heather Macy, and I'm ready to coach you. Lock in. Let's go. It's time for your 2 feet in experience.
The 2 Feet In podcast is brought to you by these sponsors.
A1 Hoops Report is a great resource for your son or daughter to utilize to enhance the recruitment process. From player profiles to top tournaments with a massive social media presence, we have all your recruitment needs covered. And follow us on IG at A1 Hoops Report. Then send us a message and tell us 2 Feet In podcast sent you. A1 Hoops Report, play hard, get recruited.
Sponsored by Acupuncture and Fertility. If you want to change your self-care game or find new ways to reach your goals, reach out to Acupuncture and Fertility at acugreenville.com to help you unwind, nurture, and heal. acugreenville.com.
Joining 2 Feet in the podcast today is Lee Yarborough, an inspiring woman focused on empowering other women. Lee is the president and co-founder of Propel HR. She also is the founder of Read Up Greenville, chair of the National Association of Professional Employer Organization, and a Liberty Fellow within the Global Leadership Network of South Carolina. What's up, Lee Yarborough?
Hello, Heather. How are you doing?
I am so glad to have you on the podcast. I have been really anxious to have you on. I know our listeners are going to gain so much from your insight. First, tell us what's going on in your world and what's the latest.
Well, really just trying to figure out how to live the world. And as the pandemic is kind of wrapping up, trying to figure out how to adjust from a business standpoint, how to help our client through this time and try to figure out what we need to do different and how we need to just continue to evolve so that we can keep safe, but yet be productive.
So, Lee, you mentioned that we're hoping we're at the end of COVID.
Right.
I think that's where we all are in the world. Is that wishful thinking, or have we learned things through this time that we can take and move forward on?
Well, I think that the world, that it's never going to be the same. So I think we've learned so much. I think that's the challenge of this time right now, is to not lose the lessons that we've learned over the past year, but how do we take those lessons and adapt and change to be better people, better society, better workplace, and just move forward. So I think that it's not going to ever end. Even in our heads, there's been some significant societal changes. How do we evolve? So this is kind of, it's going to be interesting to, I was a history major, so to look back, you know, in 20, 30 years, 100 years and see how did the world change?
So in your industry, what's been the biggest adjustment? Because I can imagine it would have been significant.
Yes. So Propel HR, we are human resources companies. We are working with small to mid-sized companies. So there's been so much that we've had to do over the past year, really helping our clients at the start go to remote workplaces. There's a lot of furloughing of employees, fear among clients that they may not make it and their businesses may fail. And then the vast amount of legislation that came out and is still continuing to come out, everything from the PPP loans to emergency leave to tax credits. We've been like drinking from a fire hose for the past year. So we're hoping it will slow down a little bit and that we can kind of resume normal business. But, you know, you just never know what is normal now.
All right, let's build on what you talked about with fear and put you on the 2 feet in hot seat. Lee, what has been your greatest faith over fear experience?
Wow, I've had a lot, as I'm sure every listener out there has. I think that I've had many moments like that in work. You have, from a business perspective, as a business owner, you have to just believe in it and know that you're going to do the right thing. Personally, I think my greatest faith over fear moment was, I'm a mother of two beautiful daughters, and we struggled, my husband and I did, with infertility and years of in vitro and just trying to figure out what was our path and where were we going to be called. I always believed I was a mother at heart, so how was that going to play out? Had a beautiful daughter, Caroline, who turned 19, and then we adopted our second daughter, Josie. And it was a long process with adoption. It took us almost 3 years to adopt her. That faith is that when I see them, and still to this day, like especially when I see them sleeping, because even though it might be 19 and 14, they when they sleep, they still look like a little baby. I always think about that, that God just knew that these were the children I was meant to have. It was on His time frame, and I just had to trust and believe in that. And so now, as horrible as that was, I know that I was meant to go through that. And I had to have faith during that time, but continue to have faith that, wow, look at this. I was not on my time frame. It worked out the way it was all supposed to.
You are at your most favorite hotel. You jump into the elevator. You hit the 34th floor. And as that elevator door closes, the person gets on. And that person needs you leave that day. And less than the ride up to the 34th floor, what would you tell her?
Wow. If I had to describe myself, I'm a mom first. I'm a wife. I'm a business owner. And I'm a very good friend. I'm never the life of the party, but I'm a good friend to my friends and a strong person. So I do think that if that person needed to hear from me, I would probably listen. I would probably maybe ask a question and then sit back and listen. Because I think if somebody needs you, they don't necessarily need all of your words. They need your ears and your heart and your openness.
Makes what sense? Wonderful perspective. So many of us in leadership feel like it's what our action is, what we say. But talk to me about kind of how you developed the philosophy. Is that through parenthood? Is that through tough lessons that you learned? The vulnerability of just listening may be the key.
I think a lot of different ways, whether, you know, from my childhood and my mother and in the HR world, most of what we do in HR is listen and allow people to vent and share their feelings. And that's one of the most important things about HR is that we be an advocate for employees, which then therefore helps the business. And then as a parent, my children give me the best lessons ever. And sometimes when my girls have problems and they've talked to me, I'll try to fix it, or I'll try to be really positive and be like, well, it's not that bad. It's, you know, you can just turn this around. And my oldest daughter, Caroline, said to me several years ago, she looked at me when she was telling me something and she said, Mom, just say this sucks and let's, you know, just agree with me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So now I try to have that in the back of my mind. Like, yes, this is awful. And just listen. And that I think people do need to just sometimes vent, and I don't need to try to fix it or try to be positive Pollyanna. I just need to hear where they are and offer a hug or perspective. And so I think that with my friends or with my coworkers, you know, I try to do that. Some people, my husband will say, I probably don't do that as well as I should, but I really try to listen. I think that's the most that we can give to people.
Okay, so it's time to tell a couple of stories, and I can already tell you're a really good storyteller. Give us your old self, new self, younger version versus current day.
I'm going to take this back really far because the person who connected us was the childhood friend. So I told people that my favorite version of myself was when I was 8 to 10 years old. Our friend Nina and I kind of, we ruled the neighborhood. We had a club. We were president and co-president of the club, and we were tomboys. We were out there just getting into trouble. It was, you know, of course, back in the day, you could go out in the morning and then you wouldn't have to go home until dinner time, and we just had fun and were very resourceful. And so that was my old self. I think through college, I think I was more spontaneous and just fun and willing to go. And then now I will say I'm much more of a rule follower. So I probably was always a rule follower, but now I feel like I'm, you know, so maybe I've kind of gotten the mom and the business leadership. I have evolved, but I guess I'm now at my truer self, and I just turned 50. And I think that I'm just kind of like, I'm proud of where I am in my life. I'm very confident, and I've probably been confident all along, but you have moments of where you can look back and see the lessons you learned and see how it really helped. But I definitely can see myself as that 8-year-old, and I can see myself now and some of the lessons I learned back then, still doing that. I'm still, you know, a leader, a good friend, and I'm still trying to have fun and just learn day by day.
Give us in your career, or you could even go into any sort of the organizations that you're a part of, what's some lessons that you've learned along the way that you would love our listeners to be able to say, okay, Lee told me about that, and I'm not going to do the same thing, and I'm not going to make the same mistake?
I will say that the biggest lesson I've learned, I have learned it multiple times over, so I guess I have not learned it all the way yet, is that I really need to listen to my gut, my instinct, and follow that. Every bad business decision that I have made and that we've made as an organization, I can trace back. I knew it was going to happen. I mean, like, I didn't follow what my instinct and my gut was telling me. I second-guessed things. I listened to sales pitches. I listened to other people. I thought, well, this is going to make me really rich and I'm going to do this and I'm, you know, this will be good for the company. And every time that I have really doubted it and talked to myself and kind of rationalized it, I've made bad decisions, which have been hurtful to the company. You know, then you have to extract yourself out of those bad decisions. We also have our values and our mission statement for our business. And whenever I get to a tough decision, I look at core values of pursuing excellence, driving growth, acting with integrity, and focusing on being good stewards. And so I look at those words and I think, you know, is this decision going, can I say yes to all of those? Is it, you know, if only three apply to that decision making, then, you know, I've gotten to the point where I just don't make that decision anymore. So I think I really would encourage everybody, and especially women. I think women are very intuitive and we naturally have that. But sometimes in the business world, we are kind of taught not to listen to our guts. And so I really think we need to listen to our intuition. And I know that, like I said, every time I've made a bad decision, I can trace back that I knew this was going to be like this. Why didn't I listen to myself? And so that would be definitely, especially in a male-dominated business world, women have that strength. We need to listen to it more.
So you trust your gut. There's no question about that. Right. And the other day I was reading, and it was talking about the term tension. And when we're feeling tension with any sort of decision, that would be the equivalent of like the gut instinct.
Right. Right.
It just is some sort of trigger in us that if there is tension amongst this decision or this conversation, pay attention to the tension.
Yes. I like that. I like that.
Yes. Would you see that?
And sometimes it's physical. Like you can physically feel like, you know, the adrenaline or kind of the flight of our fight. You can feel it and you're questioning and you're trying to determine, why am I feeling this way? So I love that, the tension. Yes, I think that's definitely true. And not being talked into something when you feel that tension, taking that time, say, I'm going to do more due diligence. You know, we don't have to answer so immediately. So definitely when you feel that tension, determine where that tension is coming from and then make your decision using that as well.
Okay, Lee, let's jump into the 2 feet in quick style questions. Lock in, let's go. Rapid fire time.
Okay.
Give us your best quotable.
I say to my girls all the time, is from the Bible, it's from Luke, but to whom much has been given, much is required. I think that's a philosophy in life, and I have been given much. So I try to give back as much as I can.
Book recommendation of the decade?
Ooh, The Road by Cormac McCarthy, but it's a pretty deep, sad, depressing read. A book I read a few years ago is called The Power by Naomi Alderman, which is a fascinating look at women in power, but a fantasy reality. It's wonderful. Highly recommend it.
Podcast or video to expand our listeners' thinking?
Most favorite recent podcast is Dolly Parton's America. It's awesome.
Love that. Anything Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Key to habit stacking or creating a routine that works?
That is my hardest. I'm definitely a post-it note person, a to-do list, but I check my calendar before I go to bed, and then I check it first thing in the morning and really just try to get, you know, my thoughts for the day and try to figure out what to do. And I try to exercise in the morning, but that doesn't always happen, but I try.
You get one phone call. To whom and why?
My mom, just to debrief the day. I talk to her every morning on my way to work, and we just talk about the day before.
Okay, Lee, give our listeners your final thoughts or maybe just words of wisdom.
Yeah, I think that being a mother has been my greatest accomplishment, and I try to tell the words of wisdom that I would give them would be to look at yourself and say, you got this. And, you know, there are days that I have to actually go stand in front of the mirror and tell myself, you got this. But every time that my girls are having a hard time, I say, you know, look at yourself, look yourself in the eye and know that you can do this. So that's the words of wisdom I give my girls, is that you got this. And so I think that as women, we need to support each other more and tell each other, you got this.
Thanks to our guest and friend, Lee Yarborough, for being part of the 2 Feet In experience, reminding us to trust our gut, and to whom much is given, much is expected. Remember, you got this. Visit the show notes to learn more about Lee and to reach her directly. That's been Lee Yarborough on season 2 of 2 Feet In, the podcast, where inspiring women are focused on empowering other women. A big thanks to all of our guests and our sponsors for breaking down ideas, giving us a strong dose of motivation, and helping us learn to live 2 Feet In. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
The 2 Feet In podcast is brought to you by these sponsors.
Angela Reed with Caldwell Banker is the answer for all your upstate South Carolina real estate needs. Find your forever home with Angela's help. Contact Angela Reed at 864-350-6670.